record.
Okay.
Don't touch it. Alright, you're okay.
Hello, praise the Lord. Okay, we'll have to finish.
Lazima tumalize.
Okay, the mic, okay. Because I think some of you have to travel and so on. Well, it took us some time to lay the foundation. Because I think if you understand the foundation, I believe when you now go to study for yourself, then you'll be able to follow. Okay, so what we're trying to do is to just give you summaries. Believing that the Lord will minister to you. Amen.
Amen.
As I said, the holy place and this place is called the Holy of Holies. In some places, some books you will see that's the most holy place. I think even the scriptures. The scripture uses Holy of Holies or the holiest place or the most holy place. And again, remember, what we are really interested is you. So, Hebrews, in discussing this tabernacle, in Hebrews 9, it doesn't even discuss the outer court. It doesn't mention it at all. He talked about the sanctuary, which is the holy place and the holiest of all. Again, that is the danger of not going beyond the Pentecostal experience. Because you will not be able to come into the full experience. Remember, it is your soul that comes to this place of judgment. Because this altar has four sides. And these four sides are equal to the four natures that you have in the soul. So I would normally draw a circle, which we will call the soul. Now, your soul has four natures. You have your mind, which is shaped like the ego, which is symbolized by the ego. The nature of the mind is the nature of the ego. And in summary, your mind can wander away from God. Or your mind can get lost in God. Either your mind gets lost in darkness or get lost in God. Because the mind wanders. And the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing in the mind. In your mind are images. Kikuyu image is in your mind. Tradition of Kikuyu is in the mind. And Jesus must break them down. So when you come at the experience of being born again, So you have these foundations.
Okay.
I'll come back again. So you have the mind, you have the emotion. Okay, you have the desire. And then you have the will. Now, religion teaches us that God is only interested when you come to church. So, when you come, you begin to dance. It's good to dance. But there's something called soulish worship. Soulish worship moves your leg. You are interested in the melody of the song. Your mind is not giving yourself to God. God wants your mind. So some of us, when we come before God, even though we are presently with God, we are cooking at home. Some of us, as we are here now, we are in the motor park arguing, thinking of the car to take to go to Ederoid or somewhere. Now, the devil knows who you are. God knows who you are also. But we do not know who we are. And when we are talking about the tabernacle, we are talking about the real man. God said, "My son, give me your heart. My son, give me your heart." It's okay. Yes, it's okay. And Romans chapter 12 says, "I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourself as a living sacrifice." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, from 13 down, it says that you are bought with a price. That your whole spirit and soul and body are bought with a price. That I should glorify God in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. I said, do you not know that you are the temple of God? So if I join myself to a harlot, I become one. So also, if I join my spirit to the spirit of God, I become one with the spirit of God. And when the spirit of God comes to a man, is to overwhelm or to overcome that man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the secret. And I'll be going back to that point. But see, before, remember, we were talking yesterday about the plan of God to save your soul. The fact that Adam lost fellowship with God. His spirit was cut off with God. His spirit lost fellowship with God. So Adam became a carnal man. He began to find energy at a lower carnal, devilish level. So the Bible talks about the earthly wisdom, which is sensual, carnal, and devilish. There is also another wisdom, the wisdom of God. Now, man received a wisdom to walk in darkness. And that's why Proverbs says you need the principal thing. And that principal thing is the wisdom of God. So that you can receive the ability to walk in the light. So the scripture says that by wisdom men depart from iniquity. Now these are the things that must come to our spirit. And the Bible said that Christ is made unto us the wisdom of God. So the spirit of man, the soul of man, the body of man must all be restored. Because when Adam died, his spirit died, his soul died, his body died. So the purpose of the tabernacle is the process in which God will restore the life of God to the soul and to the spirit and to the body. So the first experience is the experience of this, what you call the brazen altar or altar of brass. So this is the first place the soul of man comes to. Now there are four horns at this altar, four horns at the four corners. Each horn represented the four natures in the soul. And the Bible says that the priest will take the blood. It will apply it at the four corners. So this is telling us that the only way man can be saved is through the blood of Jesus. If there is no blood, there is no forgiveness. Do you understand? So the blood of Jesus brought forgiveness to us. And that blood must be applied in the soul. In Israel, it was applied on the lintel and on the doorpost. But the blood of Jesus is not blood. It's not liquid. It was liquid, but it's more than liquid. It is an ancestral spirit. An ancestral spirit. How dare you say you are from Kikuyu? When the spirit of Christ that is in you is older than the Kikuyu spirit. How dare you say you are a no? You have rejected the blood. You have rejected the blood of Jesus. Because the Bible said that the blood was shed from the foundation of the world. Were you there at the foundation? Your great-great-grandfather was in there. Adam was not even there. Adam was not even there. Foundation. That's when that blood was shed. And that is the blood that's applied to your heart. When Jesus died, Mary met him at the garden. Said, "Don't touch me. Because I must go to your father and to my father. I must go to your God and to my God." Because on that day of atonement, the high priest must carry the blood. After he has offered for himself, he must carry the blood and go through the veil and offer it at the ark. And when God sees that offering, he brings forgiveness. So Jesus came as a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Isn't it so? That blood had to be taken to God. Because the Bible says in Hebrews that he went to the heavenly sanctuary. And that blood was offered before God. So your salvation is not based on what you have done. How much you pray. All those things. Your salvation is based on that blood. So that blood is offered in the spirit. And he says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when somebody gets born again, one offers himself to God, the spirit of God will bring the blood. Remember, it says the spirit of God is hovering over the waters in Genesis chapter 1. The spirit of God is walking on every heart. If you open your heart to Jesus, the blood is applied to your soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a mark of ownership. It's a covenant, blood covenant. Anyone that is born again has a blood covenant with God. You have the blood of God. How dare you say you are Luo or Kayenji or Kikuyu? Because we do not know what we have gotten into. The blood of Jesus is thicker than your own blood. And if you understand that, it deals with the issue of dowry. It deals with the issue of traditions. It deals with the issue of naming a child from the spirit. The spirit dreams. Speaks to your father in the dream. Then you come and name the child. It deals with it. If you understand that, you cannot be talking to your father in the dream. Because the blood of Jesus had broken everything. There's nothing like traditional marriage. Because Jesus has bought you, purchased you with his blood. So there's so much to talk about regarding blood covenant, but I have to move on. So when you say you're born again, it is a blood covenant. When the devil looks at you, he doesn't see this yellow shirt. The devil doesn't see the yellow shirt. What he sees is the blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the blood he sees. But you don't know. Are you afraid of the devil? The devil is afraid of you. Because in Egypt, when he came and saw the blood, he passed, he ran away. So if you understand who you are, the devil can never shake you. Because you know you have a blood covenant with God. He said, you are the apple of my eyes. He that toucheth you, toucheth me. Those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. You don't need to pray, God, kill my enemy. You don't need that. So that even make it you to be at peace with your enemies. So you can go on and on and on and on because of the covenant. So because of that, God told Abraham, you must come out from your family. You must come out from your tribe. You must come out from your nation. God is not interested in Kenya. He did not create Kenya. Do you have it anywhere? He says, thus says the Lord. There will be a country called Kenya. Is it in the Bible? Is it in your Bible? Some men who were smoking cigarettes, they had alcohol in front of them. Say, yes, bring the map. Draw like this. This shall be called Kenya. This one is Tanzania. This is Uganda. They didn't know God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is not interested in Kenya or Nigeria. A body has thou prepared me. If you don't understand this, it's going to be wrong. There's no way you can overcome the spirit in Kenya when you submit to the spirit that rules over Kenya. Do you understand? They told us that there's a judgment coming. Bombs are going to go off. Isn't that what they said? That bomb is coming for Kenyans. The only way to escape is to refuse to be a Kenyan. You live in Kenya. We are from heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the scripture says you're a pilgrim.
Yes,
a passing through. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is a lot in this block covenant. So go and look at it. You apply it to yourself. Now, this soul moves forward to the experience of cleansing. The soul moves from the brazen altar to this brazen liver. It's a place of washing. It's like a basin. It's like a basin. But they used, they brought brass and polished it. So when you look at it, you will see a reflection of yourself. So it's a place of cleansing. When you come to the Word of God, what do you see? You see your brother. That brother, he needs to hear this word. That brother needs. I wish my wife was here. My wife needs this word. Jesus said, remove the log in your eye first. The problem is not your wife or your husband. So he that looks at the perfect law of liberty. What do you see? You see a picture of your soul. Amen. So preach a man. Look at the law of liberty. The husband man must be a first partaker. You must apply the word to yourself first. That is the place. You must clean yourself first. Judgment must begin where? At the house of God. So the word of God is like a mirror. You must hear the word of God. Now that brings us to a very little matter. They call it the sardine effect. You know what is called a sardine? The fish in the tin. The container. You open the sardine. You take out the fish and throw away the container. Many of us, not all of us, were in danger of container effect. My friend says he's serving being a plate. You are the vessel that they are using to serve the food, isn't it? So, if you don't save yourself first, you serve the food. Paul say that I'm a castaway. He was laboring that he will not be a first castaway. You are here, you preach every Sunday. You preach every Wednesday. You teach Bible study. You lead the prayer meeting. You make the announcement. You will arrange for microphone. You will arrange for cooking. Everything is you. Sardine. You will run yourself dry. You need to sit down and let the young men in your church preach. You have the word. Brother Mark knows what I'm saying more than myself. I'm telling you. I learned it from him. But look at him sitting down quietly, and I'm doing as well, I know everything. But a brother knows it. He can teach it. More than me, I'm telling you. So never you think that you know everything. You can never have all the revelation. So we were talking about plural in the body ministry yesterday. You must start it. Encourage the brethren to express themselves. Sit down, bring your Bible, bring notebook. Listen to the word. Kneel down and repent. Let them pray for you. Say, brethren, pray for me. Pray for my soul. If you don't do that, you're just giving out, you're not getting anything. But he that waters shall be watered. If you are walking right, God will be sending ministry to refresh you. In this conference, I have learned so much. As I'm talking, I'm learning myself. So you must come to the place of cleansing, the word. You need the word. And many of us, our grip is so tight on the church. Because we are afraid that if you allow those young men, they will take over the church. Well, it's your church. If it's the church of God, no man can take over the church of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is something that you have to deal with. So that God can raise up men. You may be the prominent person in the fellowship. No problem with that. But the thing is, what do you do with that? You can overshadow the fellowship. When you are not there, it's dead. Nothing will happen when you are not there. They will phone you. You are here in Nakuru. They are calling you every time. There's one woman there, she's not well. What do we go out to do? Anything they want to do, they will come and take permission from you. Even Moses, they told him, bring up other men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you are a godly man, you will pray, God, send other workers. Send me men. And God will send men to you. Men who will not be yes men. Not the people you are paying them. Anything you say, they agree. Anyone you say, they agree. Those are not men that you work with. You are working for people that you will submit to. Men who will be able to look into your life and they can bring correction. Then God can establish eldership. Then you see that the burden will not just be only yourself. The body will be spread. And then you'll be free to grow in God. So of us are pastors, we are evangelists, we are teachers, we are prophets, we are apostles, we are helps, one man, everything. That church can grow. So God called you, just function in the area. If the church doesn't grow, then you yourself will remain stunted. When the church grows, you are free. You can go to other things. You can get involved in other things. Praise the Lord. So this is the place of the basin. And it represents three things. Baptisms, sanctification, consecration. Three things. We already explained consecration and sanctification. Now, we need to explain baptism. Now, there are three types of baptism. And in Hebrews 6, it talks about baptisms as a foundational doctrine of Christ. Now, the soul of man, remember, used to be in the realm of God, you know, so walking in the light. This soul is like when you throw down, if you are like on a three-story building and you throw down a ball, he falls down on the ground. So imagine that your soul was like in that story building, and when sin came, it fell down on the ground. You want to play with the ball, isn't it so? God wants to fellowship with you, isn't it so? And God is a spirit. So the only way God can deal with you is to bring you back into the realm of the spirit, isn't it so? Is to bring you back into the realm of the spirit. And the way God does that is that God will send, this is your spirit, this is the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Spirit of God has to come down, has to come into your spirit. But that is not the destination, because your spirit is not the temple of God. It's your soul. So this soul area is God's target. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you say it's a down payment or a deposit. Okay, it's a deposit. God wants to restore the soul back to heaven, into light. So the first movement, or the first thing that God does, is that the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit. And when he does that, your spirit is all possessed. So the Romans 8 says that if you have the Spirit of God, then you are in the Spirit. Because if you have the Spirit of God, then if you have the Spirit, then you are now in the Spirit. Because any spirit, whether it's the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the devil, they have one effect. When a spirit comes upon a man, it possesses that spirit. So if the Spirit of God is coming into your spirit, he's coming to fill your spirit. So the Bible talks about being filled by the Spirit. And when you are filled in the Spirit, you are now operating under the influence of the Spirit of God. So, in that measure, you can say that the fullness of God has come into your spirit. But the soul is still not changed. Remember, the nature of the soul is represented by these four things. You still have the desire, the emotions, the will, and all that. So this Bible says it is a deposit of the Spirit. It is a first fruit of the Spirit. So now, those who get baptism of the Holy Ghost are in the outer court. There is a baptism in water. There is a baptism in the Holy Ghost. Then there is a baptism into Christ. Now, when a man gets born again, he has to be baptized in physical water. That is done by men, the elders, the workers in the church. Man baptizes you in water. Now, when you are baptized in water, you are ready for the next experience, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And it is Christ that baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. Because see, Jesus gave the gifts to men. Now, the Bible says that we are baptized into one body by His Spirit. So it is the Spirit of God that now brings you into the realm of Christ. So if you look at it this way, sorry. If you look at this other chart, so here is the Holy Ghost that's coming to your spirit. Now, this Holy Ghost must get to your will. The spirit must get to your mind. The spirit must get to your emotion. The spirit must get to your desire. And when that is done, then the Bible says the body will be changed. The body will be adopted. Okay, into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. So when a man is baptized in the Holy Ghost, he's able to come into the realm of the Spirit. And in that example, there are three things that you'll be dealing with in the realm of Christ. There are three things that you deal with in the realm of Christ. Now, you must know, the problem of this man that comes here is the problem of sin, isn't it so? But the man has a greater problem. His nature is a nature of darkness. So it's not just to forgive his sins. He will go back and commit sin again. So if you want to save the man, you change his nature. And that's what the Bible calls self, or the old man. So when the man is born again, self is not dealt with fully. Self is not changed fully. God reserves that for another experience. So when you are, so by the time you are baptized in the water and in the Spirit, the Spirit of God begins to move you to walk in the Spirit. Bible says that if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Isn't that so? So you begin to walk in the Spirit. Now, walking in the Spirit entails three things, three main things. The first one is the experience of the lampstand. The second one is the experience of the table of shewbread. Is a place of the table. And then the third one is another altar. Again, it is four square. The soul is taken to this experience. Yes, you have a covenant with God. God is your father and all those things. But this soul must be changed. The nature of the soul must be changed. The problem here is forgiveness. The problem in the outer court is that God brings you into a place of forgiveness of sins and covenant. The business here is to do what? To change the nature of the soul. So this table is made of brass. Brass piece of judgment. But when you go into this holy place, to this table, it's made of gold. Now, what does gold represent? I said this again. Gold represents the character of God. He said, Paul said that when I have been tried, I will come forth as gold. The more you are tested, the purer you become. So God begins to deal with the nature of your heart. God begins to deal with your mind, your emotions, your desire, your will. God begins to deal with your personality. God begins to deal with your family roots, your tribal roots. He talks about their nationality. God begins to deal with the issues of the world, the attachment to the world, in a much more deeper dimension. Because the second covenant, he says, I will put my law in the inward part. So God cannot do anything with you unless you offer yourself. It's a willing, must be a willing sacrifice. Now, this is the most dangerous place in the church. This place. Now, this was the place where the sons, two of the sons of Aaron died here. Because they brought a strange fire. God said, no other fire comes into the tabernacle except the one from here. They said, no, I have a very good matches at home. I have fire at home. They went and brought fire at home to bring into the house of God. It was a strange fire. And they died right there on the spot. And they died there. That's how many people are dying. Because of the strange fires that bring. There are some people, when they get here, they turn back. Say, this is too hard. In the time of Jesus, the Bible says that many of his disciples, when they heard the word, say, this is too hard. It's too hard. Me, I'm a Kenyan. I don't know this new doctrine. The God of my forefathers. When the thing gets tough, when your wife hasn't had children for 10 years, we will know whether you still have a God. Or you remember the God of your forefathers. Amen. Abraham had to wait for 25 years. God was testing him. How many of us can wait for 25 years? How many of us can wait for 25 years to have a child? Or you remember the custom of your people? That in my people, if I don't have a son, I won't have any heritage. When they are sharing land and cow, I won't give anyone. I won't have any inheritance. So your sisters will bring a girl and keep for you in the village. Every weekend you are going to crusade. Then you branch and go to the village to see wife number two. Wife number one is in Nairobi, but number two is in Western Kenya. It is the day you die that we will see the child. We will come out. The woman will bring the child. Say, well, this is his father. Then the church will be embarrassed. Because self refused to die. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is the place where self comes into question. And God must deal with it at this altar. So this altar is called the altar, golden altar of incense. Remember, this altar is your soul. It's your soul. In Israel, it was a table. But for you, it is your soul. It is your heart. Hallelujah. Now, there are these two experiences. This is the experience of the Spirit. This is the experience of the Word. So, you have the Word and the Spirit. The Word of God will always lead you to submit to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will always lead you and reveal the Word of God. The two work hand in hand. So the Spirit and the Word, they must agree. So two is the number of witness. So the Bible says by the word of two or three witnesses, every word will be accomplished. So this is the realm of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God begins to walk in us. So this is the place where the Spirit of God now begins to come into the depths of your emotion. The Spirit of God is now coming to your mind. I remember when I was getting married. I knew too much more than God. I didn't pray. I worked everything out from my head. Everything I did, I figured it out. Amen. So that means my mind was a candidate for change. So God will work on your mind. When you have a problem, what do you do? And the only way to do it is that God will allow you to get into problem. And then when you are in that situation, you will be forced to make a decision. Do you follow your mind? Do you follow your experience? Yesterday, somebody had a problem and we prayed like this. You have another problem now. Oh, no. Let's do it how we used to do it before. That is not working by the Spirit. Amen. Every situation requires a new direction by the Spirit. So the Spirit of God begins to work to change the natures of your soul. Now that is what it means by the lampstand. Now, if you look at this lampstand closely, this is the only source of light in this. Everything here is covered. This and this are covered. But the outer court was not covered. So, the light of the outer court was the sun. You know what that means? When evening comes, everything here will be darkness. That's why there's HIV in the church. Look at it here. That's why you have divorce in the church. Adultery, it is here. Do you know why? Because the darkness is increasing in the world. The Bible says that the world lieth in darkness. The world lieth in darkness. This is the part of the Church of God that is in closest contact with the world. And in Revelation 11, the Bible tells us that the darkness is going to overtake the outer court. So there was a man who came to measure the temple and them that worship at the temple. But he told him, don't measure the outer court because it's going to be destroyed by worldliness. In the church, you have president. Imagine president in the church. Church committee in the church. Everything you find in the world, they are put in the church. Even our music too. Kenyan people, don't be annoyed though. But you see this music you are playing? You have to look at it again. Amen. You need to look at your worship. I like the singing, you know, it's very, very sweet. But sometimes the soul needs to worship God in quietness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And most of what you are doing is a tribal thing. Do you know why? It's the same in Uganda. It's the same in Tanzania. I have seen it in Rwanda. I have seen it in Congo. All of you dance alike. It's a tribal dance. Do you hear what I said? It's a tribal dance. Even in Ethiopia, they dance like you. Everybody is dancing like it's a tribal dance. When I went to Kenya, Uganda, they were dancing, they were almost falling on the ground. Everybody was dancing. The whole church was doing like this. I said, God, we are Christians. We have our own way of worshiping God. Hallelujah. You dance in the spirit. You don't bring your traditional dance into the church. In the outer court, it's allowed. But if you are coming into the spirit, it's a different ballgame. Do you know that there is something called the ministry of the spirit? When somebody is singing by the spirit of God will touch your soul. Can you differentiate the difference? Melody. You know the drums we are using are the drums they use in our elders' chief council. And when they start knocking the drums, Jesus, bro that is preaching will start shaking his leg like this. The brother that is preaching start shaking his leg like this. The man that is preaching starts shaking his leg. When I go to the village and they knock the drum, my head scatters. There is a spirit that is responding to the drum. Is it not true? Okay. I didn't tell you to throw away your drum. I'm only saying walk in the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is soulish worship. And there is the ministry of the psalmist. And when the ministry of the psalmist is released in our
midst,
you will even hear God speaking to you in the song. You don't need anybody to preach. God will speak to you in the song. There will be a message in the song. Which has nothing to do with emotion or dancing, all those things. The Spirit of God can also get you to dance also. So what are we talking about? We are talking about ministry in the spirit. I can come and talk to you now out of my knowledge of the Bible. It's different from the ministry of the spirit. Because God knows what he wants to say to you. I don't know. If I submit myself to God, the Spirit of God will minister through me. But I can prepare my message and come and preach my message to you. It's only my mind talking to you. But God wants to talk to you through my mind. So the only way out is that I have to break down the strongholds in my mind. So that there be a liberty for God to flow through my mind. So what we are showing to you is a more excellent way. And this is a place that takes you beyond the soulish worship. So most of what you see on TBN, you see in the market, it's just show business. It's just show business. Worship is not entertainment. Worship is not entertainment. It is not singing the song I like. It is singing the song that the Spirit of God is singing. So just like I get a word to share, that's how the Spirit of God brings a song that he wants to be sung. So those leading in worship must be able to hear God in the Spirit. They must be able to discern the mood of the Spirit of God and bring the song that will reflect that mood of the Spirit. And when the ministry of the Spirit begins to come in the congregation, God will bring forth words in the congregation. Somebody will get a word. The Bible said that when you gather together, somebody has a word. Somebody has a psalm. Somebody has a prophecy. Somebody has a teaching. Somebody has a testimony. Fellowship. Fellowship is not every time pastor, pastor. It means the fellowship gathers together. You start worshiping God. The Spirit of God starts quickening men. People bring what they have. And at the end of the fellowship, you see that you have received ministry from the Lord. Where you don't have any passenger, everybody has something to offer. But in our Pentecostal setting now, the pastor is the one that does all the preaching. So the people are going to cinema to watch the pastor display. They're watching you display. You show them the new watch you have bought. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You show them your shoe. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Somebody gave me this suit in New York. Hallelujah. Oh, my God is good. My God. My God. What is going on? 30 minutes, you're showing us your new suit. Meanwhile, the soul is untouched. The four beasts are still alive. The four beasts are still alive. The beast, and the lion, and the eagle, they are still alive. They are still alive. Hallelujah. This beast must be slain. This beast must be slain. It is the word of God that will slay the beast. It's called death to self. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If these four men don't die, the lion of the tribe of Judah will not come. The mind of Christ will not come. The will of God will not become your will. And then your desire will not be unto God as a bride. The Bible said that the desire of the woman is to the man, isn't it also? The desire of the bride is to the bridegroom, isn't it also? Your desire must be changed. That you desire the things of God. There is something to say about desire. You know, the serpent crawls on the ground. The desire is like the nature of the serpent, bound to the earth, desiring only carnal things. We need to ask God to change our appetite. What do you desire? What is it that gives you energy and strength? Is it God? Or church business? You know, when you preach, it's very interesting to preach. Because when you go and preach, there will be one goat waiting for you at the back of the church. They have many gifts that they give to you. As a bishop. This is a bishop's goat. When you go and marry people, say, look, now I'm not a small man anymore. I'm now a bishop. My price is now 100,000 shillings. When I was a small preacher, I used to take 10,000 shillings. Now, if you want me to join you, 100,000 shillings. In my bank account. They have to send a jeep to pick me. And I'm not going to go to Mombasa with bus. Must either get 540 or Kenya Airways to take me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that true?
Amen.
Yes, that's what's happening in the church. That's why the whole place is filled with churches. You want to be like Oyedepo. Hallelujah. You are hoping to have your own university and your own big school. It means your desire is serpentine. Is bound to the earth. So that the first Adam is of the earth. The first Adam. The second Adam is the man from heaven. It's heavenly. It says, set your affections on the things above. What do you desire? What does your mind feed on? These four men must eat. They must have energy. And that brings us to this table of shewbread. There's a table. This table was made of wood and overlaid by the Spirit. Overlaid by gold. Sorry. The bread is Christ. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from you. Jesus is life. Jesus can be your source of life. He can be the source of your energy. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Hallelujah. But by every word, that life that comes from God. Yesterday I told you that God was feeding Adam himself. There is a river in Eden, in Garden of Eden. The Bible says it had four heads. Let me show you that river. It divided into four heads. That's the river. That river began from God the Father. Flowed to the Son. Flowed to the Spirit. Flows from the Spirit into my spirit. Flows from my spirit into my mind. My emotions. My desire. And my will. Those are the four dimensions of that river. I want to tell you that God can feed you. You are on earth, but the life of God is coming to you every day. You are operating at a higher dimension. Because yesterday God told us, heaven is in you. You have a realm of the Spirit within you. You have a realm of the Spirit within you. God made you to be a creature that can be on earth physically, but in heaven within himself. Because with your spirit you communicate with God. With your body you relate to the world. Isn't it? So you are relating, you are working in the office, you are cooking your chapati at home as a woman, you are farming at home, you are a gardener, whatever you are doing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why are you doing those things? Your mind is in heaven. Your emotions are with God. Your desire is with God. You are not dwelling at this realm. When they bring bad news to you, say, thank God in everything. Hallelujah. Say, in everything, give thanks. Is it not so? Because your life does not come from the earth. So, that is what this table shows us. A table of bread. On this table, they had 12 loaves of bread. 12. And you know, 12 speaks of the number of completion or fullness. What he's saying is that there is enough power and energy in God to meet all your needs. There is no problem that can arise which the church should not be able to deal with. You don't need to go to your village to deal with the problem in your house. There's enough solution in the church. Amen. If you seek God, you will find it. There's enough power to deal with every situation. And as we come into the things of God, the strength of the church is improving. The things that the church couldn't deal with before, as we get into the realm of the Spirit, we'll be better equipped to deal with them. So we have the Spirit and the Word. It says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Spirit of God will reveal the Word of God. And the Word of God will give you the energy to walk in the light of the Spirit. So that you can offer your soul as a living sacrifice. The purpose of the Spirit is to enable you to bring an offering in the Spirit. The purpose of the Word of God is to judge the darkness and bring you to a point where you offer your soul to God. So it says the entrance of the Word of God brings light. Remember, we are saying that the soul has a nature of darkness. So the word that is coming from God is a word of light. So the light of God is coming to your soul. It brings judgment to your mind, to your desires, your will, and the four dimensions of your spirit. And then it begins to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God works in you, brings forth fruit. And that enables you to bring, offer your soul to God. So you find that at this table of this golden altar of incense, this is the place where your soul is offered to God. Your soul is the bride of Christ. The Bible says that you are the bride of Christ. It's not talking of your spirit. Because the spirit came from God, isn't it not so? The body came from down, isn't it not so? It's the soul. And the purpose of everything here, lampstand, the bread, the table, and the place of cleansing, is to bring you to this experience so that you can offer your soul as an offering. So the Bible says this is the offering of the soul. It is a place of judgment. The Bible says that there was a voice from the golden altar of incense. It says, how long, O Lord, will you not judge the earth? As the world is going towards darkness, There are men also who are moving towards light. I want you to understand that. You don't need political power. This is the power you need. The power of the golden altar. A soul that has been prepared. The Bible said that when that voice cried, that somebody took the offerings, he took the incense, mixed it with the prayers of the saints, and cast it upon the earth. And there were thunderings and earthquakes and so on. The church is coming to a place of authority. We are coming to a place of power. That will not be released until God begins to deal with self. And you find that this golden altar, is the only thing that moves from here to here. The only way you can break through this veil is that you must die. Self must die. When self dies, it is transported in the spirit. It's able to cross the veil. This veil has cherubims. You see that in Genesis 3:24. Say, God put cherubims to guard the way into the tree of life. This is the Ark of the Covenant, and this is the ultimate experience for your soul. Remember, when God was going to appear to the children of Israel, he appears in the Holy of Holies. And I told you that God will always come to the temple that is ready. So if God wants to come to you, he's going to come to you in this experience. The fullness of God is coming to man. But you see, on the Day of Atonement, the Bible says the high priest will carry this table and go across. This is the only thing that moves. So you have to look at this and find out where you are. Are you outside? Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? You're in the wrong place. Where should you be? It's a place of death. So now we have been telling you that you must decrease. That Christ may increase. Isn't that so? That is the place. Now you will find that message too hard. Because this is my church. Now that will be hard if you are outside here. If you are here. But when you move beneath and you are heading for this place, you know that I must die. That Christ might increase. Hallelujah. So to be able to walk and to come into this place, you have to make up your mind. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is the message we are bringing to you. It's a message of breaking through the veil. I will end with that. Now, in Hebrews 10:19, the Bible says that the veil is your flesh. This veil speaks of the flesh. Hebrews 10:19. Now, he said Jesus broke through his own veil. Now, how is it that you do not want to break through the veil? You are following Christ. You are following Christ. He broke through his own veil. I said, Christ has done everything for me. I'm a sweatless winner. Hallelujah. I'm a sweatless winner. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bible said that we follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. We must follow Christ. If Jesus broke through his veil, Bible said that if your master was killed, how much more his disciples? So we must follow in his steps.
Amen.
So you must come to the point where God begins to deal with your flesh. Now, when you say flesh, what does it mean? Flesh talks about your ancestry. The things you inherited from your father and your mother. It talks about the things you have gone through in your experience. In life. Those three things make up your veil, your flesh, or your personality, and that is the veil that must be broken. Now, God is not going to bring you where you do it all at once. He will do it a little and a little and a little. And that's why God's order of leadership is plural leadership. It's a many member leadership. So that you will use your brethren as instruments to deal with your flesh. If you are in a place where you are being, nobody can talk to you. That means you are unchanged. You're unchanged. Nobody can correct you. You're unchanged. Bible said that iron sharpened iron. If you are the big man, you're lost. Your own is finished. You can't make it. But you need somebody to correct you. You need somebody to annoy you.
Amen.
You need somebody to bring out the beast in you. This beast must rise. That's why I said an elder must be a husband of one wife. He must have raised up children. So that he knows the reality of life. Must not be a novice. You need practicality. And that's what we find in a fellowship. In a fellowship, there are many rough stones. There are many rough stones. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God puts them together. Those five stones that David picked, where were they? They were by the river. They were just, the water had been running over them. You know, when the water is running over you, they knock against one another. And the stones became smooth. The smoothness of your life can only be brought by your brother, by your sister, by your wife, by your husband. That's why you must be in a fellowship where people can rub against you and you rub against them, where you have need to forgive people and people will also need to forgive you. You share fellowship. Most of what we have now is social club. People come to fellowship, they are not sharing their life. The burdens and the secrets are all hidden. That's not fellowship. You said that Adam and Eve, they knew one another. They were naked. And they were not ashamed. That's fellowship. That's talking about breaking through the veil. Where your flesh comes out. So that God can cover it with gold. If you come to the tabernacle, we'll end with that thought. You come to the tabernacle. This was made with wood, covered with brass. This was made with wood, covered with gold. This was made with wood, covered with gold. Made with wood, covered with gold. This is the only one that it was made of gold anyway. But it still had, there was a wick that was burning. And that wick speaks of your humanity. If God anoints you, you will do the work of God effortlessly. You will burn, you will not be consumed. You will burn and you will not be consumed. The burden of God will not crush you and finish you. Because there will be oil that will bring a refreshing. So I think I would like to stop at this point. We've tried to look at the different aspects. Even though, as you know, it's not possible to go cover all the details. Even the fence, we didn't even talk about the fence. This fence was made with a linen cloth, white cloth. It speaks of the testimony of the Christian. We should be righteousness. When people see you from far, what testimony do they have? It should be pure white. It should be righteousness. And they will have to keep this testimony unspotted by the world. Remember, the fence is in fellowship with the world. We are in the world. We are not of the world. Amen. There is nothing like rapture. Jesus said, I do not pray you should take them out of this world. Is it in your Bible? John chapter 17. He was praying for you and pray for me. Say, I do not pray you should take them out of this world. Jesus did not preach rapture. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul did not preach rapture. Paul preached resurrection, which is all I have been saying. Jesus said, as when it was in the day of Noah, that's how it will be in the day of the Son of Man. Isn't that so? Those who are saved were inside the ark. Christ is the ark. If you are in Christ, you'll be saved. The people who were destroyed were those outside the ark. The flood was coming. The boat was floating. As the flood was coming, the boat was floating. The flood is the tribulation. The flood are the trials, the wars, all those troubles. Is the flood is coming to Kenya. The bombs are coming to Kenya. Bomb is coming to Kenya. If you want to be saved, what will you do? You run away from Kenya. God will carry you to the sky. Get into Christ. You die. And he will put you into Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
As the flood was coming, the boat was floating. Said they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage. I did not know when the flood came and took them away for destruction. So he says two will be together. One will be taken for destruction. One will enter the ark. Two will be in the field. One will be taken for destruction. The other one is entering inside the ark. The person was taken for destruction by the flood. The man inside the ark was floating. Hallelujah. Amen. Tribulation is the only thing that will wake up the church. And if God loves us, which He loves us, prepare for tribulation. Because tribulation will sharpen the church. Those who are not praying, when tribulation comes, will start praying. So God is going to allow it. Right now, there's a little window of prosperity that is coming to us. And the Bible says that a wise son gathers in summer. Because he knows winter is coming. Winter is coming, brethren. Let us gather in summer. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.